Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, February 26, 2016. I am Jason Powell, joined today by .net staffer Darren Gutteridge. Darren normally covers the Ring of Honor shows for you guys in audio form and provides the Ring of Honor hit list, and he is joining me today, the day of the Ring of Honor 14th anniversary pay-per-view in Las Vegas, Nevada at Sam's Town Live. He and I are going to go through this show, offer our predictions on things, and kind of give an overview of where we feel things stand with Ring of Honor. First off, Darren, your excitement level on a scale of a 0 to 10 for the 14th anniversary pay-per-view.
I'd go in with a 7, but I think this is a very top-heavy pay-per-view, and a lot of that rating is down to perhaps the top two, maybe even the top three matches. But yeah, I go around a 7 for this.
Before I forget, I should tell people, hey, join me tonight for live coverage of the show if I didn't mention it already. I'm looking forward to it. I would say I'm at about it's weird because just looking at the lineup, it's one of those where it's like, yeah, you know, 7, 6, 7, maybe even more. The more, if I really start to think it, for the build they gave it, I'm closer to a 5. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, Darren, I feel like they did a better job than usual building up this show, at least in promoting it. I wouldn't say the storyline build was there. I think that's where the flaw was. But on the go-home show, and I know you don't always get to see them as soon as I do, so I don't even know if you've seen it yet, they did a lot of hype consistently through the show for it. But I just didn't come away feeling like storylines really built up in a big way where I'm excited to see watch the culmination of these storylines play out.
No, I'm with you. There are some hallmarks of traditionally bad Ring of Honor booking on this pay-per-view. There's quite a few matches that just seem thrown together, zero build, make little sense, there to make up the numbers. But they have done a better job of at least building up the championship matches, and in particular that main event, which is fever pitch anticipation right now.
Well, let's talk about that match. We'll kind of work our way through in reverse order. It is Jay Lethal defending the Ring of Honor title against Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. It's a triple threat. We're actually getting two triple threat title matches on one show, which is not the norm for Ring of Honor. But in this case, I think it makes sense, certainly for the main event itself. Do you feel like there's a chance of a title change here with either Adam Cole or Kyle O'Reilly taking the strap?
I think the reason I'm so enamored with this match in particular is I think there is a 33 1/3% chance of all three of these men walking out with a title. There's very strong arguments for each man in this match to walk home with a title. And that's very rare with triple threats. It's usually either, you know, a champion retains or there's a red hot obvious favorite of the two challengers. Here, there's three big potential champions coming out of this, and I'm excited for all three of them. If I were to give the prediction of whether we're going to see a title change or not, I think we are at this point.
Well, I was going to say, and who do you think that person is that wins the title?
I think it's going to be Adam Cole, because I think with the Supercard of Honor 10 coming up over WrestleMania weekend, I think you booked that match as your main event with Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, with Kyle O'Reilly going over. The 14th anniversary, don't get me wrong, is a big show, but I feel Supercard of Honor rivals even Final Battle as their biggest show of the year. And if I'm thinking it that way, I think Kyle O'Reilly's win means more if he's beating Adam Cole in a singles match, and means more on that card than it does here.
I wonder if this match was put together at a time when they were unsure of whether Jay Lethal was going to stay with the company. That was the talk at the time when late last year, and talking to people in Ring of Honor, was that they didn't know for sure. And they knew he would be around through the show and presumably through the TV taping that'll follow the next night. And so I wonder if it was, well, we don't want a situation where people find out he's leaving, and then it's obvious that whoever he's facing is likely to win the championship in a singles match. And yeah, you could play the possibility that he may defend the title the next night at the TV taping if he's around for that. But I really wonder if that's how it came together, was they figured we'll put two guys in there. Keep in mind, I don't know that they knew that Red Dragon would be sticking around either, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. So I'm not quite sure how all that came together, but that's just kind of my speculation on things. I don't always see ROH title changes coming, and in this case, I may be off. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't really see a storyline need for it at this point. O'Reilly and Cole definitely have their thing going. And yeah, you could transition that into a singles program against one another for the title. I don't know why you would take the title off Jay Lethal right now, I guess is kind of my issue. And I don't feel like there's this strong desire from people to see either Cole or O'Reilly come out of this with the title.
See, you may be right about Adam Cole, because, you know, we've been there, we've done that, we've seen it before. And it was good, don't get me wrong, but I don't think the ROH masses are ready for that. I think there's a groundswell for support for Kyle O'Reilly getting that title. He has been consistently the most over babyface outside of their one true love, Dalton Castle. He has been the most over babyface on these cards for the last, you know, going on maybe 6 months. He has been their guy. And as far as Jay Lethal goes, well, this is the thing. I am pretty even in my prediction for all three of them. I'd be completely okay with Jay Lethal retaining, but I start to question at this point. He has been excellently booked as a champion, but I do wonder how much more there is to do with Jay Lethal as champion. There's nobody in the offing right now that I see as, you know, someone they could build up, build to that match at, say, Final Battle at the end of the year, or maybe even Supercard of Honor, that could be that babyface. Maybe it is Kyle O'Reilly. Maybe they could keep it on Lethal and have Kyle O'Reilly versus Jay Lethal in a singles match at Supercard of Honor. That could happen. But I think the better feud right now is between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. That's the best feud they have in Ring of Honor. They could put it on there, and I'd even be tempted to then say, okay, Jay Lethal loses the title. We don't see him in the relatively short time between this pay-per-view and Supercard of Honor. He comes out at the end of Supercard of Honor, drops Kyle O'Reilly as a new champion, and that's your feud going forward. An angry, pissed-off Jay Lethal that he's lost his title going after Kyle O'Reilly. I think that's how it could be done.
I really like Kyle O'Reilly. I know people do as well. It's not like we're alone in this. He definitely has fans. I hope he's not getting the title here, because I don't think they've told the story effectively yet. I'd rather see him beat Lethal, even though he does have all the issues with Cole, only because I kind of feel like they. I'm not a big fan of just a quickie title change, Cole being a transitional guy then, because I fear you do some damage to Adam Cole that way. And I feel like there may have been a telling line on the Go Home show. The three guys had a brief segment, and Cole emphasized a line that basically, I'm paraphrasing, but it was essentially that he is going to see to it that Kyle O'Reilly never wins the ROH title as long as he is there. And I there was just something about the way he delivered the line that made me think, okay, this is coming into play somehow. And so I don't know if it's just he sacrifices himself to make sure O'Reilly doesn't get, you know, how it would be done. And maybe I'm reading too much into it. But long story short, I'm going with Lethal to retain. I don't feel strongly that – I guess the thing I feel strongest about in all of this, Darren, is that I don't feel like it's – they've told the story effectively to go with O'Reilly. It would surprise people, would get a buzz. I'd rather see them tell that story and build to that crescendo.
And I could agree with you on that. I don't disagree with your points there. And I just think if they're going to go with Kyle O'Reilly as your champion at Supercard of Honor, I think the easier story to tell right now would be him versus Adam Cole. But you could easily tell a story of Jay Lethal, this unstoppable champion, going against a guy that nearly beat him had it not been for Adam Cole's interference the last time they had a match. There is something to tell there. And like, this is why I'm really excited about this match, because not only do I expect this to be just a phenomenal match from three excellent workers, there is a possibility that any one of these three guys could walk out with the title, and that is some excellent booking from Ring of Honor.
So, did I miss your official prediction on this?
I'm going to stick with my guns and say I think Adam Cole's going to come out of this. The only thing that makes me question that is they are a little bit protective over the two-time Ring of Honor championship, you know, accolade. They've only given it to two people prior to this. Whether they want to give that to Adam Cole if he is going to be a transitional champion, I don't know. That makes me a little bit. But no, I'm going to be brave, stick to my guns, and say Adam Cole walks out with the title.
You go Cole, I go Lethal. The other triple threat match is for the ROH TV title. There is a new ROH TV champion. I will probably butcher his name. It's Tomohiro Ishii, and he is defending against Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. This did not play out on the television show. I don't know. They must have made the decision to go with this after they taped television. The title change certainly occurred after then, when it was it happened at the shows in Tokyo last weekend. And so what all the build was for Strong against Fish on television, and now of course you add Ishii to this, and I'm excited about it. I mean, one thing, I don't know if you picked up on this or if you think I'm overanalyzing it, I felt like Fish came across as like a little too aggressive. It was like he has these issues with Strong, and it may just be they didn't intend for it to come off this way. I almost felt like he was the heel of the two. Granted, Strong's running away from him a bit, but it's just like Fish was kind of a dick about the whole thing.
It's been baffling me and Hayden for weeks that this is such a bizarre feud, because they're not making either man all that likable. You know what I mean? They're making Bobby Fish seem like a dick, but only when he's in singles action. When he's in a tag team, he's all fun and games when he was Kyle O'Reilly. But yeah, in his single feud, he's an asshole. And they haven't exactly made Roderick Strong the antidote to that. He's also been an asshole. So it's been very hard to pick a side in this feud. And I think adding a guy unfamiliar to a lot of Western wrestling fans may not help that either, because I know it plays into the Roderick Strong versus the world thing they've been pushing on TV, that very poorly explained gimmick Roddy's been doing for a little while. I wasn't really looking forward to this match. It could be a good match, but they've just really not done a great job on the build. I don't think the addition of Goto has helped that at all. Did I say Goto? My apologies, I meant Ishii.
Yeah. It's a weird match in that I certainly assume we're going to see a title change. I don't know how it goes. I don't think they're going to just keep the ROH TV title on Ishii. Maybe I'm reading this completely wrong. They are doing more business with them they've got the War of the Worlds and the other global wars. I know those are coming up, I think, in April, is it?
I think it's more of a summertime thing. I think that's more July, August time, yeah.
Okay, so we'll probably see a title change here. I don't feel strongly either way. I don't know if they were going to put the title on Fish this time. I don't know if they're setting up for the feel-good ending of the tag partners, Fish and O'Reilly, together in the ring with both of their newly won titles at the end of the night. I kind of hope that we're seeing Fish be more heelish, because he's eventually going to cost his tag team partner, Kyle O'Reilly, the title. I think there's money with those two as a tag team in both New Japan and Ring of Honor. I get it, but there's selfishly, I would like to see that feud at some point.
Sorry, what was the question? My apologies.
There's not really a question there, other than, well, your thoughts on the idea of Red Dragon splitting up and becoming foes.
Ah, right. Well, I kind of suggested this on one of our ROH podcasts, in that I thought Bobby Fish versus Kyle O'Reilly, that could be a very interesting feud. And I thought they were going there when they had Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly teaming again. I thought that was going to lead to, you know, the jealous Bobby Fish coming out and attacking Kyle O'Reilly. The Fish heel character doesn't do a lot for me. I find him far too grating in his current guise, even though he isn't technically a heel right now. But yeah, there's a very easy story to tell, and that could be a very nice story somewhere down the line, but that's not an ideal feud for either man as new champions. You know, I mean, if they both have titles coming out of this show, I don't see them going to that storyline straight away.
Oh,
if Bobby
true.
Fish,
yeah.
If Bobby Fish loses that title relatively shortly and gets angry about that and then gets jealous of Kyle O'Reilly, then yes, I could see them transitioning to that. I would be sad to see the end of Red Dragon, but with Bobby Fish getting up there in years, who knows how much longer that would have carried on and been as successful as it currently is. And I think before that kind of turns, I would like to see a feud between these two.
Yeah, if we see a super angry Fish at the end of this, where he loses, Strong wins, or even Ishii retains, and Fish is just over the top in anger, and it's not necessarily just directed at Strong, keep an eye on that in the main event, just in case. That could get interesting. who's your pick to win here?
I am with you. I don't think they're going to keep it on Ishii. So I think the story says it goes. I think it's just as simple as they want to put it back on Roderick Strong. They wanted to give, you know, the Japanese fans and maybe New Japan as an extension of that something to hang their hat on to say, look, we're not just coming over here for a show. Your guy gets to win the title, but he's going to be losing it straight back to Roddy in a few weeks' time. Roddy has shaken off losses before and winning that title back straight away. That almost makes him look better. Yeah, he got caught out once, but he's so good that he's not going to get caught out a second time. And then you can carry on telling the Roddy versus the world story. And it also opens up the possibility that it's actually quite nice if they carry on that gimmick. You're no longer just thinking, well, of course he's going to lose. He's facing a random guy. He's not going to lose. They could quickly point out, but he has lost in this situation before. He could lose again.
What do you think of the idea of Strong beats Fish to retain, and people immediately go, ah, oh, there's no New Japan politics, but it's really to set up future Ishii Strong matches, where it's like, yeah, Strong got his title back, but he didn't beat the guy who beat him for it.
That's a very good possibility, because they don't tend to build up matches for those Global War and War of the Worlds matches. They just kind of announce them and let the hype build the matches kind of unto itself. They don't really give a lot of time building up matches on those cards. To actually have a match like that in the offing, that could be a good idea. And once again, they could do a title flip-flop there where Strong wins it at whichever one is first and then wins it back at the second one. I'm not very happy with the hot-shotting of the title there, but yeah, there's a story to tell there.
See, I'm going to just go with my fantasy booking scenario of, yes, that's how it goes. And then Fish is so upset that he costs his brother, his buddy, Kyle O'Reilly, the title in the main event. I'm just fantasy booking the hell out of this now, and so my predictions will probably all be completely untrue. Other than this one, War Machine against All Night Express, I don't see any reason to take the tag titles off of War Machine, do you?
Especially not for the All Night Express, who have just underwhelmed across the board since their comeback. There is, yeah, absolutely no reason to take the titles off War Machine. But I do hope that once they've kind of got this mandatory feud out of the way of, you know, the All Night Express returned, oh, isn't it great? Here's their title match. Off they go. They've lost now. I really hope they start putting emphasis back on War Machine. Because even though they are champions, they've kind of felt like they've been lost in the shuffle. And that is actually detrimental to, because of ROH's deep tag division, the champions are kind of getting lost because they're up against, you know, the Young Bucks, who are incredibly over, the Briscoes, who are eternally over, the up-and-coming team of ACH and Matt Sydal, who've got a win over the Young Bucks. That's a big thing. War Machine almost feel like an afterthought in their own division. That's partly down to the fact they don't let them talk or have characters or do anything other than just come out and look, you know, rough and tough. I really hope this is now the catalyst for we're going to start doing things with War Machine, even if that means eventually turning them heel.
I really hope they have a better outing than they did on the Go Home show. It was not pretty. It was War Machine's usually pretty good, and they faced Tim Hughes and Brutal Bob, and I didn't come away feeling like this was Hughes or Bob. It just looked like War Machine was a little sloppy in this one. So hopefully it's a good match, but I assume War Machine retains here. Then we have a match that I know people are going to be buzzing about. Young Bucks and Kenny Omega will face Kushida, ACH and Matt Sydal for the never open weight six-man tag titles. Those are New Japan titles, folks. And Omega and the Bucks recently won them from the Briscoes. And who was the Briscoes' partner? I'm drawing a blank.
That is a good question. I'm afraid I don't know the answer.
Yeah, you know what? People who know, and those who don't aren't going to strangle us for it. I'm just drawing a complete memory blank on this one. But they recently won those titles, and now they're defending them on ROH's pay-per-view. Now, Kushida, obviously a New Japan guy. ACH and Sydal, no reason they can't go over there. I still just look at, well, they just put the titles on the Bucks and Omega. I don't think they're going to take them off is kind of my biggest key here for picking the champions to retain.
I agree, and I don't think the fans are necessarily looking forward to a title change. They're just looking forward to the crazy spot fest that this is going to be. The winner ultimately doesn't really matter to them. They're going to be hyped to see the Young Bucks. They're going to be hyped to see the Bullet Club. It'll be interesting to see who takes the pin, though, because I think they want to be careful about having the Young Bucks pin either ACH or Matt Sydal, because they're telling a story there. The story that, you know, even though they're two single guys, they are apparently the only team in the world that has the Young Bucks number. So I'd be looking for Kushida to take the pin here. And again, I don't expect a title change. I am expecting the now mandatory spectacular Spotfest tag match that is now on all Ring of Honor pay-per-views. And I'm, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a car crash, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be enjoyable nonetheless.
Super Kick Party, and it was Toru Yano. That's who the partner was of the Briscoes for the. They were the first six man champions, and I'm not going to lie, I had to go to good old fashioned Wikipedia for that, folks. speaking of the Briscoes, they face Tanahashi and Michael Elgin in a tag match that I thought they did a decent job of setting up, just with Elgin saying he's calling in reinforcements. But it's kind of strange in that there's no major friction there. It's like Elgin's had minor issues with the Briscoes, but it's been more competitive issues than like all-out hatred, and it's just hard to imagine Tanahashi having issues with the Briscoes. So I think it's one of those that people who follow New Japan are going to be excited by. It's just the dynamic there's a little bit off to me.
See, the dynamic being off for me is actually with the team of Michael Elgin and Tanahashi, because obviously I don't watch any New Japan stuff, so I didn't know. The way Elgin made it out, it seemed like they were best friends, and I don't know about you, but I just can't envision big Michael Elgin talking to Hiroshi Tanahashi at a bar. Now, that's the video I want to see. That would be all the build you need. It's show Michael Elgin and Hiroshi Tanahashi, the oddest of odd couples, having a beer somewhere and talking about wrestling. I'd watch the hell out of that. But as for the match, well, they all know what they're doing. They're all good wrestlers, so
this should be
decent. But yeah, the build has left a little bit something to be desired for me. They could have done more to explain the relationship, if there is one, between Elgin and Tanahashi, other than just giving it a little bit of lip service on that one show.
I think the relationship is essentially that Tanahashi liked Elgin enough to help him get a 2-year deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and but beyond that, I mean it's not like Elgin spent a ton of time over there, but the thing I've noticed just seeing him at the Wrestle Kingdom show, seeing him on the Wrestle Kingdom 10 show, Elgin works with so much more confidence in Japan. I'm curious to see if that carries over, even though this is a Ring of Honor show in Las Vegas, if it's just something about working with Tanahashi. I mean, he's looked a little more confident since he's come back, but he was a guy, I don't know, if he just really seemed to respond to the Japanese style, the way the crowd received him, maybe part of it too, the dome atmosphere. He was excellent on that show, and I hope that carries over. I'll go with Tanahashi and Elgin to win here, but I don't really feel strongly about it. What about you?
I'm going to echo that. I think, you know, they're going to want to keep the Japanese guys as happy as possible. And yeah, if Michael Elgin is gaining some momentum over there, it's more beneficial for him to win there. I think in terms of, you know, Michael Elgin's work in Japan, he just strikes me as a guy that was always going to work over in Japan just for his style of wrestling. And I still think, I know it's been a while now, I've always got the feeling he still has a bit of a sour taste in his mouth about how his Ring of Honor title run went and how it finished. I still don't feel his heart is in Ring of Honor, and I don't think that's ever likely to come back to the extent it was prior to that title run. So I put down to that, but yeah, as far as picking a winner, I will echo you and go with Elgin and Tanahashi.
IWGP Heavyweight Champion Okada, Kazuchika Okada. I'm butchering the first name. I can pronounce Hiroshi Tanahashi well. I'd like to just stick with Okada. And he is facing Moose in a non-title match, it would appear. And this one was set up by Stokely Hathaway just coming out and saying that the approach they were taking isn't working, and they want to start with the biggest and the best, basically, in 2016. And so he wanted his man Moose to face Okada. And it wasn't like we got some video of Okada accepting the challenge. It just... he issued the challenge. Next thing you know, the match was official. And so a little bit awkward there, but what do you expect from this one? Is Moose up for working with a guy that goes like Okada does, or is it a case of Okada's so good that he's going to make up for so much of Moose's greenness?
From that point of view, as an experiment of a match, I'm kind of looking forward to this one. It will be a sign of just how far Moose has come at this point. We all know he's made massive strides from the greenhorn he was just a couple of years ago. this should be an interesting thing. He's in there with one of the premier in-ring technicians in the world right now, capable of putting on great match after great match after great match. If he can show that he can maybe not hang with Okada, but can certainly, you know, follow Okada's lead to a great match, that's really good news for Moose. That means he can be carried, and that means that he's just going to get that many more opportunities going forward. So as an experiment of a match, I'm kind of looking forward to this, but I question the booking of it in terms of the winner and the loser. I'm pretty sure Okada's going to win. I don't think New Japan are going to be willing to let their guy get pinned by Moose. I don't think that helps Moose necessarily. He's not had a major banner marquee win in quite a while now. And I think another loss on pay-per-view, unless they're turning him heel, is actually damaging to Moose. It seems like they've actually, or accidentally, yes, they've gone for a good match on paper, but they may have booked themselves into a corner.
I think this one is, I mean, barring some outside interference or something, hokey, I hope it's just as simple as Okada goes over and Moose looks good in defeat. And I'll go with that as a prediction. Again, I don't have a real strong feel for this one, but yeah, it's just Moose kind of spinning his wheels, but it's in Ring of Honor, it's nothing that a really good outing can't solve. Even if he loses that match, people can get excited about Moose. Not that they're not excited about him, it's just kind of, you know, he wins some, he loses some. He's in some random four-corner survival matches that he wins and he loses. And it just, it doesn't feel like there's as much going on with him as there should. And yeah, a win over Okada in a non-title match would get people buzzing. But I don't find it to be realistic. Alex Shelley and Christopher Daniels, why wouldn't they close the go-home show with an angle involving the six guys involved in this? Of course, the others being Chris Sabin, Frankie Kazarian, and then who were the other two? I can't even – I'm drawing a blank here.
I have yet to watch the go-home show of Ring of Honor, so I'm afraid I am of no use to you whatsoever.
That's right, yeah. You know, it was ACH, and I can't remember who teamed with him. It wasn't Seidel. It was, which was so weird. They follow up with ACH and Seidel getting that big win over the Bucks just to show ACH teaming with somebody else on the go-home show. I'll find it here while we're talking. But, yeah, that's I guess it's just what will Chris Sabin do is the idea, and problem is, I don't care. I want to be excited about this. I don't care what Chris Sabin is going to do.
No, he's been, this storyline has been so absent from TV. I know they only have an hour to fill, and you can go quite a few weeks without seeing people, but given the amount of time they've been able to give to the agonizingly painful storyline of Steve Corino versus BJ Whitmer, you're telling me they couldn't have done, you know, given some of those segments over to this feud, which could have been exciting. You know what I mean? The possibility of the Motor City Machine Guns getting back on the same page and being a tag team again. But it's just been so negative and just so, I'm going to say, it's been boring. It's not been entertaining in the slightest to see, you know, Alex Shelley isn't a charismatic stallion at the best of times, but he really hasn't been up to anything of value since his return. And the same thing can be said for both Chris Sabin and, to the extent, the Addiction. They just haven't been an entertaining act, and this hasn't been an entertaining feud from the get-go.
Say what you will about TNA, folks, and they didn't always do right by the Addiction when they were there, but they were a lot more entertaining at different points than they have been since they've come to Ring of Honor. And it was actually Alex Shelley himself teaming with ACH, but that's what I was drawing a blank on. I assume that I think Sabin ends up, yeah, rejoining Shelley, and just so they have an undercard feud with the Addiction, with Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, whatever. And then BJ Whitmer against Adam Page. This is another one they got on the go-home show. They really liked it. Boy, they took care of the undercard on the go-home show, Darren. You have that to look forward to.
Whoopee.
Who do you like in this one?
do I have to? Do I have to? If anybody has listened to any Ring of Honor podcast from the last year, I think, that this feud has been going on, you know that I am by far and away not a big fan of this feud at all. I'm hopeful that this is the end. I hope it's just as simple as Adam Page comes out there, quickly gives the beating that BJ Whitmer deserves, and it's over. We are finally done with this god-awful feud. I'm not looking forward to a good match. My only hope is that it's quick and painless. That's probably as optimistic as I'm going to be about this match.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm ready for it to be over. I don't think it will be, and so either Carino interferes to help Paige or something, and they get their happy one way or another. You just know they're not done with this, especially with Carino vowing that he's going to get in the ring with Whitmer at some point. So I think Paige may win this. This one, I mean, just flip a coin because they could also have Whitmer win to keep the feud going. And that may even be the way they go. I just don't care. But I do know that, well, I know why you brought up Hirooki Goto earlier, and that's because he is facing a guy you do care about tremendously. You and I could like write books about our love of Dalton Castle and the boys. That is the match, Goto against Dalton Castle. I gotta say, a little disappointed that there's not some Silas Young and Beer City Bruiser love on this show. You give us that match, those two facing the boys on ROH TV. Give me that on the pay-per-view. I would pay good money to see that.
Yeah, that is very odd. This is indicative of kind of shoehorning in New Japan talent where they can, as opposed to where they kind of fit naturally. And I would expect shenanigans in this. By the way, me and Jason are both accepting applicants to the DaltonCastle.net fan club. If you want to join up, we are still accepting applicants for that club. What I will say, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for the 14th anniversary. They have the Night 2 TV tapings card, some of the matches announced for that. And on the night after, on the TV tapings, they have Dalton Castle versus Silas Young in a fight without honor. Why couldn't that have been on the pay-per-view? That's going to sell more pay-per-view buys, I would have thought, than just seeing Hirooki Goto, who I have no experience with Goto at all. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup if you put him in front of me. So his
He'd
match
be the
with.
Japanese guy.
Ah, there we go. That you would narrow it down, yes. But the seeing Dalton Castle is always a treat, but I'd rather see him in a meaningful match than just against some random guy. Maybe Goto, I don't know. Maybe Goto's like an amazing fit for him and this is going to be a hoot. But I'd rather see Dalton Castle. Having said that, Dalton Castle in a fight without honor, in a no disqualification match, that does seem odd, but I suppose this feud is kind of warranted at this point.
Yeah, I'm ready for that. I wish it was happening here, but yeah, it is a little. I mean, I think you nailed it. They're shoehorning them in here. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see Silas and Bruiser get involved somehow, some way. And I'll go with Castle losing this match because of that by distraction. And so that is your Ring of Honor pay-per-view coming up tonight on pay-per-view television. I should emphasize, if you're like, I don't want to watch it on my computer. No, this is an actual pay-per-view television event. And of course, if you want to watch it on your computer, there's all sorts of apps and things I'm sure that you can use to order this pay-per-view legitimately. And some of you will find ways to not do that. But I will have live coverage coming up 8 p.m. Central start time, and that would be 9 p.m. Eastern. So join me for that. And hey, everybody, if you would like to enjoy it on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net and hear the hour and 15 minutes or so .NET weekly audio show that Darren and I recorded on Thursday, then all you have to do is visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, find the sign-up area. Once you are in there, you will see three different pricing options. Membership rates start at $7.50 if you take the monthly option. If you want to commit for a little bit longer, you will save yourself some money in the process. You can whittle that price all the way down to $5.50 per month by average if you take the annual option that is available. And I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, yes, by all means, please follow us on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. Darren, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at The Guttridge on Twitter. You can also check out my website, www.theguttridgelog.co.uk.
And I always tell people I really appreciate it when you take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, and you should certainly subscribe to this daily podcast. That is greatly appreciated. And join me tonight again for live coverage of ROH 14th anniversary. If anyone is going to Saturday show, we're certainly looking for correspondents as well for the television taping that'll be at the same venue, Sam's Town in Las Vegas, Nevada. Darren, thank you for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Pleasure to do it.